Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll be picking up in verse 13. And I just want to say that if we go over today, it's Tom's fault, not mine. And okay. On Thursday of this week, we learned that Toys R Us will shut or sell all 735 stores in the United States. About 31,000 workers in the United States will be laid off with no severance package, and it marks the end for a company that sold toys and bikes and video games and birthday presents to millions of American kids. I'm guessing that some of you can still whistle the jingle, "I'm a Toys R Us kid," right now, okay? Many of us have walked through Toys R Us with our children who were wide-eyed and wanted everything. And some of us were walking through saying, "I sure wish they'd had this when I was a kid," okay? Trying to get them to narrow their options was difficult for them and for us. But what about you now? What one thing do you want most out of life? What in life do you have to have? Often commercials awaken to us our desires. Maybe there are things you just have to possess, foods you just have to consume, or relationships you just have to have. What's the superior treasure in your life that you wake up thinking about, you go to sleep dreaming about, and you spend your day daydreaming about planning to get it? It may be money. It may be stuff. It may be sex. It may be success. It may be speed, as I was talking to someone this past week, and he was telling me how much he likes powerful, fast cars. Wisdom, Jesus, is the treasure that is superior to all that we can set our hearts on. Solomon will tell us in this few verses today to seek wisdom first above all else. When Solomon wrote these words, he was encouraging his son to commit to the study of a book, the book of Proverbs, but in the fullness of time, the Spirit has revealed to us that wisdom is a person. It is Jesus Christ. We are to seek Him above all else, and all other things will be provided for us. If we set our supreme desire on things, even good things, it will prove disappointing. It may even wreck our lives. But when we set our supreme desire on Jesus, we're able to enjoy these things such as gifts that causes our hearts to sing praises to our Lord for providing them. Let's look at verses 13 through 18. Happy is a man who finds wisdom and acquires understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left riches and honors. Her ways are pleasant and all her paths peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. Proverbs 13, verses 13 through 18 is a poem or a hymn about the supreme value of wisdom. And as we've seen, Solomon has personified his wisdom as a beautiful woman. He sets to get her above getting anything else. And yet in the fullness of time, according to Galatians 4:4, the New Testament revealed to us that this is pointing to a real person, Jesus Christ, whom we can know and pursue and treasure above all else. The benefits of wisdom are given here to motivate us to be with her at any cost. The idea is to get wisdom because it leads us to a happy and blessed life. And we can see it in a bracket here, because in verse 13 and in verse 18, we find the word happy. It's like Solomon was giving us a beatitude. Happy or blessed will be the one who gets wisdom, who gets Jesus. Wisdom's profits are better than silver, gold, or jewels. Wisdom is better than money and stuff. Wisdom is better because it cannot be lost or destroyed. Wisdom is better because it shapes you into the kind of person who can enjoy these things in the proper context. Where we go wrong with God's gifts is that we think they are about money, silver and gold in verse 14. The wise teacher is counseling us, don't aim for money. If you need money, aim for wisdom. And you'll make the money that's right for you. That's why wisdom is more precious than jewels in verse 15. Wisdom is skill at living life well. Money is not. Money can put food on the table, but wisdom puts laughter around the table. Money can buy a home, a house, but wisdom makes it a home. Wisdom, money can give a woman jewelry, but it cannot buy her real love. Wisdom is better than that. Wisdom gives physical, spiritual, and relational blessings. Proverbs teaches us that wisdom creates happy homes, loving marriages, and treasures that cannot be valued by marketplace prices. Riches ultimately will not make us happy, but Solomon says that wisdom will. The main reason is that wisdom is ultimately not a thing. Wisdom is a person you can have a personal relationship with, and that's Jesus Christ. So get Jesus at any cost, because nothing you can ever desire compares with Him. Wisdom is better than anything you can desire, so grab her and don't let her go. Is there something that you desire more than Jesus? What is supremely valuable to you? Even if you wouldn't say it out loud right now in your mind, you might be thinking, well, for me to be happy, of course I need Jesus, but I also need a happy marriage. I need Jesus plus blank. You fill in the blank. What is it that you have to have in addition to Jesus? I need Jesus plus a promotion. I need Jesus plus the right car. I need Jesus plus the right house in the right community. I need Jesus plus romance. I need Jesus plus financial security. I need Jesus plus the perfect Christmas card picture of your family. Whatever you put in that blank is what you treasure most, since you've given it the same status as Jesus. Solomon exhorts us through the Spirit that if our hearts are set supremely on the stuff of this life as the means to happiness, then we may lose those things, and happiness will certainly elude us. But if you set your heart supremely on Jesus, then you'll get true happiness. And He may provide you the other things in their proper context. But true happiness can only be found if Jesus is our supreme treasure. Seek wisdom of all else, and these other things will be provided for you. Solomon already knew this. In 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord told Solomon He would grant whatever Solomon asked for. Amazing. If you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? Solomon could have asked for riches, long life, victory over his enemies, or to be the most famous and glorious king that's ever lived. But instead, he asked for wisdom above all else. So the Lord gave him wisdom. The Lord also provided long life, money, and victory over his enemies. But those were secondary. So Solomon tells us in this passage that getting wisdom above all else would add long life, riches, and good reputation, and a pleasant course of life. Wow! You get to live longer because of the wise and pleasant paths that you are walking help you to avoid the pitfalls that lead to an early death. You receive honor because those paths help you to avoid those things that will ruin your reputation. On the other hand, heeding the wisdom of this book will lead to wealth, since hard work is raised up rather than laziness. Spending wisely is encouraged rather than wasting our money on frivolous purchases. And saving for downtimes will ensure you that you have the provision when you need it. And all these things are taught in the book. Following the wisdom of this book will generally lead to blessings right now. but they will always ultimately to lead to blessings. Proverbs are promises, and I've said this before, that are generally true now, but are always ultimately true. Seek wisdom. Seek Jesus first, and all these other blessings will be provided for you. Next, let's look at wisdom and creation in verses 19 and 20. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom and established the heavens by understanding, but by His knowledge the watery depths broke open and the clouds dripped with dew. The Lord created the whole world by His wisdom. So there's a wise order to the world. Solomon says the world created the whole of the cosmos by His wisdom. There's a wise order to this world. The world works in a certain way according to the pattern of wisdom. So you can know the order and live by it, and you possess wisdom. In a fallen world that's been broken by sin, this order generally works now, but it will always work later. Wisdom gives you the ability to perceive God's order and live by it. You must live by this order. Don't try to live against the grain, because that leads you to destruction. Have you ever had a microwave and you looked at it and you thought you needed to heat something up, and maybe you were a little bit on the younger side and you put something like a packet of sauce from Taco Bell into the microwave and heated it up? That's not very bright. It doesn't work well. And what it does is set off all kind of problems in your microwave. It's not a good thing to do. There's an order. There's things you can do with a microwave. There's things you're not supposed to do with a microwave. And if you do the right things, your microwave lives on and helps you do those things. You try to do the wrong things with the microwave, and you can mess up the microwave. That's the way it is with life. God has an order in this creation, and we're supposed to do certain things, and when we don't follow that order, then we mess up. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 6 that we can observe the ants and deduce that hard work will lead to provision and laziness will lead to poverty. You can observe that a soft answer cools anger. Dishonesty in the justice system will destroy society. That's just the way the world works. And trying to live against it is suicidal. This wise order is also Christ-centered. It points to Him. God created the world through Jesus, according to John 1 and Colossians 1. And Jesus is the one who upholds the world right now, according to Hebrews 1. The person who walks according to God's wisdom can sing, "This is my Father's world," and really mean it. The wisdom of God brought everything into being, and including what the science calls the laws of nature. Obey these laws and creation will work with you. Disobey them and creation will work against you. Christians who live by God's wisdom will be a good stewards of His creation and will use His gifts for His glory. Then look at verses 21 through 26. We'll see that wisdom will give you peace of mind. Maintain sound wisdom and discretion. My son, don't lose sight of them. They will be life for you and adornment for your neck. Then you will go safely on your way. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down and your sleep will be pleasant. Don't fear sudden danger or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from a snare. Solomon appeals to his son to not let wisdom and discretion depart from his sight, because they're the gift of life. Keep the wisdom of this book through Jesus, and it will keep you secure from the ruin of the wicked that comes. Solomon's point is that wisdom keeps you safe from sudden trouble. That's why you should seek wisdom above all else. You will walk safely during the days of your life, and you will sleep peacefully at night. This is an appeal from a parent who desperately wants his child to be safe, and don't we all? Recently, I sent out something and I said I hadn't been sleeping well. And somebody wrote me back and he says, "Could it be a bad conscience, a guilty conscience? Have you ever considered that?" I said, "Nope." Okay. My sins were confessed up. But what I did have a problem with is not being able to disengage my mind when I go to bed. I was still working. I was still processing and thinking. And I know that's not good. And yet, I know that's an area that I actually struggle with because I have a hard time for my mind shutting down. Some of you never get it started. We won't go there. So some of you won't catch that until later. But I'll move along real quick here before I get fired and I won't have to worry about this any longer. Okay. He says you won't stumble if you keep walking on the wise path. Wisdom will give you a good night's sleep without worry, even when my mind doesn't want to disengage. You will sleep well because you haven't done the foolish things that can cause you to stay awake worrying. You won't be afraid that you'll get caught or be found out. You won't have to lie awake thinking, what if she reads that email, or what if she sees that text, or what if she checks my search history? You don't have to be the preacher that I just read about that got caught in pornography. Walking in wisdom and avoiding the foolishness of sin will keep your conscience clear and your mind free from worry. And if you get wisdom, you will ultimately be safe because Yahweh is the one who watches over you all day. God Almighty will be looking out for you. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and He will keep those who fear Him safe. Then look at wisdom will give you God's blessings. When it is in your power, don't withhold good from the one to whom it belongs. Don't say to your neighbor, go away, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when it's there with you. Don't plan any harm against your neighbor, for he trusts you and lives near you. Don't accuse anyone without cause when he has done you no harm. Don't envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the devious are detestable to the Lord, but he is a friend to the upright. The Lord's curse is on the household of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks those who mock, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise will inherit honor, but he holds up fools to dishonor. Solomon moves from the vertical relationships that he has with God to our horizontal relationships that we have with others. Wisdom teaches us that if your vertical relationship with the Lord is right, your relationships will be right in everyday life. One practical example of keeping this wisdom is Solomon exhorted his to be a good neighbor. You are not wise or in a right relationship with the Lord if you're not a good neighbor. If you love God, you will love your neighbor. You remember in the New Testament it said, who is your neighbor? It's anybody. It's everybody. Solomon first mentions two sins of omissions, failing to do good, and then he mentions two sins of doing bad. Solomon says to not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power. When you have the power and the ability to bless somebody else, he says, bless them. This refers to doing something good to someone who has a need and you have the means to fill it. This could be giving a fair wage or money to a person in need. This could be meal or clothes or a tool your neighbor is lacking or some other physical assistance they need. The wise are attentive to the needs of others around them. They're the neighbors everyone wants to have. If anyone has this world's goods and see a fellow believer in need but withhold compassion from him, how does God's love live within him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and truth, the Scripture says. Proverbs 3:28 fleshes this out. Don't delay in doing good if you have the means. Don't put it off because you're lazy and then forget. Don't put it off because you're indifferent or selfish. Don't try to get rid of the person with excuse like, I don't have any cash on me right now. Then go the extra mile to meet the need is what the Bible says. Failing to do good to your neighbor when it is in your power is foolish and wicked and it's sin. Solomon moves from failing to do good to actively doing evil. Don't plan evil against your neighbor who lives trustingly beside you. Don't accuse your neighbor without reason if he hadn't done any wrong to you. This can refer to making a false accusation for gain. You accuse them out of jealousy or you do it in order to get something that belongs to them. Solomon acknowledges that it's okay to seek justice if there's an appropriate cause. Finally, Solomon exhorts his son not to envy the violent person who seems to prosper because of his schemes. There are times when it looks like following wisdom, following Jesus, doesn't work like we think it should, and following the ways of the devil, following the ways of evil can lead to success. There are times in this fallen world where it may look like the path of sin is the path that's getting what everybody wants. Solomon acknowledges that some people do use their power to manipulate and abuse others to get what they want, and they get it. You might be tempted by jealousy to adopting their ways when you see that working for somebody else. Solomon pleads with his son, don't envy these people, because in the end, the tables will be turned. In the end, they lose. Judgment will fall. God opposes these people. They will not prosper forever. And if God is for you and you belong to His Son, that means even if you don't prosper right now, you will later. Yes, there's an order to the world where things work out in a certain way. Yes, in a fallen world, it doesn't always work out immediately, but God stands behind the order of holding it, and He will call for a time of reckoning at the last day. There will be a judgment. When the order works out here now, when the fools are struck with poverty and lose their family and damage to their reputation, that's just a foretaste of what's coming ultimately. And when the wise have plenty and a happy family and a good standing in the community, that's also a foretaste of what's coming ultimately. But even when things don't work out immediately, God will see that they do in the end. Wisdom has its rewards, and Solomon holds them out to his son as motivation to get wisdom. If you believe that wisdom, Jesus, can make good on these rewards, then you will walk in these ways. The devious person, a person who goes against the created order, is detestable to the Lord. And judgment will fall on you if you do not follow the golden rule to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Solomon says there's a curse on the house of the wicked, but a blessing on the house of the righteous. This encourages us and warns us that actions affect us, and they affect more than just us. The sins of parents will affect the children, and the righteousness of parents trying their best to walk after Jesus will affect them possibly as well. There's a choice between blessing and curses, and obedience and disobedience. There's a choice between honor and dishonor. Don't mock or you'll be mocked. Humble yourself, receive grace from the Lord. Jesus is the wisdom of God, but He's also the wise son of Proverbs who humbled Himself, took on the curse of sin for us, and offers us the blessings of wisdom. He is truly more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. We all know that beautiful song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the way that it speaks to us. And Father, I pray that even now You've been speaking to each one of us. Father, may we be seeing clearly there's choices. There's decisions that we make. We make them day by day. Father, I pray that each one of us would make a decision today to live for Jesus, to follow after Him, to seek after Him. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that does not know Christ would make that commitment today.
Father, may we each want to serve and live for you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.